Part E, Listening for Pleasure, Pop Songs, My Heart Will Go On. Lesson 5, Life on Campus. Part A, Getting Started. Short Conversations. Listen to the tape carefully and choose the right answer to each question you have heard. 1. I think I'll add that information to my paper.
You really should check it out in your reference book.
Question. What does the woman imply?
2. Do you know when Thomas was born?
Don't ask me. I'm not good with dates.
Question. What information do you get about the man?
3. The forecast is for a severe winter. Are you prepared?
Hardly. I'm waiting for the next sale to get a down jacket.
Question. What can be inferred from the conversation? 4. How long has it been since you saw Becky?
I bumped into her at the market just last week.
Question. What does the woman mean? 5. Pam says she likes art museums.
But she doesn't often visit them, does she?
Question. What does the woman imply about Pam? 6. Why did you come to the meeting late? I left a message with your roommate about the time change.
She has a very short memory, and it really gets on my nerves sometimes.
Question. Why was the woman late for the meeting? Passage 1. Housing options in the United States. Exercises. 1. Listen to the passage and choose the best answer to each question you have heard.
Finding the right place to live in can help ensure a most rewarding experience in the United States for international students. Depending on your situation, whether you are here alone or with a family, the duration of your stay, the amount of privacy you would like, anything from living on campus in a residence hall to private accommodation in a motel can suit your needs. As an ESL student, your housing may or may not be included in the study program. The basic choice to make is whether to live on or off campus. There are advantages and disadvantages to both. The advantages of living on campus are as follows. You will have a furnished room, easy access to campus facilities such as libraries, computer labs, sports facilities, and cafeterias, access to social activities and peers, and maximum interaction with other students. Eating on campus is usually cheaper, and you don't have to worry about transportation to and from classes. There are also some disadvantages. You may be sharing a bedroom with other students, so you will not have much privacy. You must be flexible when living with others. The advantages of living off campus are as follows. You will have privacy, more real-world experiences, your own bathroom and kitchen facilities, and furnished rooms. It is possible to have visitors at any time and suitable for students with their families. However, there are some disadvantages. The rooms are not always furnished. Unless you are living with a host family, there is a lack of spontaneous social activities with people, and transportation is inconvenient. You may waste time in transit to and from classes. 1. Who does the speaker address?
2. What does the speaker mainly talk about?
3. Which place would an international student most likely choose if he wanted to have easy access to campus facilities?
4. Which of the following is not an advantage of living on campus?
5. What is the disadvantage of living off campus?
Exercises. 2. Listen to the passage again and write T, true, or F, false, for each statement you have heard.
1. According to the passage, an international student doesn't decide by himself whether to live on campus or not.
2. All students have their own bathroom and kitchen facilities if they live on campus.
3. A student should be flexible if he lives in a residence hall.
4. Living off campus is suitable for a student with a family.
5. Students living with a host family have a chance to take part in social activities.
Passage 2. Living on campus. Exercises. 1. Listen to the passage and choose the best answer to each question you have heard. All students are required to live in the residence hall, which provides students with good opportunities to make friends, meet each other, and enjoy a wonderful campus life. The student residence hall is situated on the campus within short walking distance from the library, study rooms, computer science center, and recreational facilities. Students will also have convenient access to the sea and other places of interest in the area. They will have quite a different life while walking along the beach, visiting places off campus, and looking for fun. At present, about 60 rooms are available, and each accommodates 3 students. All rooms are fully furnished with bookshelves, cupboards, desks, 1 telephone, 1 TV, and modem outlets. A shared washroom and bathroom are provided on each floor, and both have considerable facilities. There is a laundry with several washing machines on the first floor. Bedding is provided, and each week a clean linen change will be arranged. A group of well-trained staff are responsible to see that all public areas are clean at all times. Security guards are always on watch on the first floor to answer questions and complaints and guarantee the safety of every resident. The dining hall is on the second floor of the building. Both students and the college faculty are encouraged to have meals in the college dining hall. Breakfast, lunch, and supper are all offered, and a great variety of nutritious and healthy Chinese foods also available. A small cafe is open every day from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. on the third floor. Here you can find a very romantic and elegant place for sampling Western food, drinking coffee or other beverages, and talking to friends. Both food and service are standard.
1. Which of the following statements about the residence hall is not true?
2. What is not included in the rooms of the residence hall?
3. On which floor is the laundry?
4. According to the passage, who is responsible for cleaning?
5. Which of the following statements about the dining hall is not true?
Exercises. 2. Listen to the passage again and complete the statements below. Passage 3. Academic levels and credits. Exercises. Listen to the passage twice and summarize the credit system with the words and phrases given.
Academic levels. A first-year college or university student is commonly known as a freshman, whereas sophomore, junior, and senior designate second, third, and fourth-year students. Collectively, these students are called undergraduates. Students in the first 2 years are called underclassmen, and the last 2 years, upperclassmen. Successful completion of 4 years of undergraduate study entitles the student to a bachelor's degree, which is the prerequisite for admission to graduate school. Students who begin college studies in 2-year colleges earn an associate's degree and may transfer to the appropriate level of a bachelor's degree program. Credits. Undergraduate academic progress in higher education in the United States is usually measured in units called credits, credit hours, or points. In schools on the semester system, a credit is defined as 1 hour of classroom instruction or 2 or 3 hours of laboratory experience per week for a semester. Most students normally take 15 or 16 credits a semester, but some take 17 or 18. For instructions on the quarter system, a quarter hour of credit is defined in the same way, but based on the 10-week term as previously noted. 3-quarter credits are therefore the equivalent of 2 semester credits and represent the same amount of academic accomplishment. The total number of credits taken in a term is often called the class load. Ordinarily, 60 or 64 semester credits are required for a two-year associate degree, and 120 to 128 credits for the four-year bachelor's.
Part D, extensive listening. Tips on giving a public speech. In this part, you are going to hear a longer passage. The passage is printed below with some words and expressions missing. As you listen, fill in each of the blanks with the words and expressions you have heard.
Here are some other useful tips based on my own speaking experience and what I've noticed in many good speakers. 1. Look at your audience. I've already said how important it is to make eye contact. First, be sure to look up from your text or notes. Second, don't talk to the wall in the back or the window or the side. They're not your audience. Each time you look up from your text, look at a different part of the audience so the whole group feel they're being addressed. 2. Know the pacing and inflection you want to use. Some speakers, if they're reading from a complete text, underline the words they want to emphasize. If you are using an outline or notes, highlight ideas or phrases you should stress. This accomplishes two things. It guarantees your emphasis will be where you intended it to be. And it assures your audience that you won't be speaking in a dull monotone that will put them to sleep, especially if you're talking after a meal. 3. Stand up straight. I don't mean you have to assume a parade ground posture, but stand in a comfortable way rather than hunching over the lectern. Hunching constricts your breathing, and it looks bad. 4. If there's a microphone in front of you, adjust it to the right height or ask a technician to do it, rather than forcing yourself to stoop like a heron. If you can, check this out before it's your turn to speak. Talk normally into the microphone. That's why it's there. If you declaim at a high volume into it, you will actually be harder to hear. And be careful to keep your mouth in range of the mic. Don't weave around or turn away to answer a question from the side. Keep in mind the value of brevity. English teachers tell the story of the man who received a lengthy letter from a friend that ended with an apology. "Please excuse such a long letter," his friend said. "I didn't have time to write a short one." It's not easy to be brief, especially on a topic you know a lot about. But in any kind of communication, it's always worth taking the time to boil your message down to its essentials. That emphasis on brevity applies even more when you are delivering a speech. The show business expression, "know when to get off," comes into play again. And the best public speakers always know when. Some of the longest speeches ever inflicted on the American public have been the inaugural addresses of our presidents. However, one of the shortest inaugural addresses is also one of the best remembered and most often quoted. It was delivered on January 20, 1961, by John F. Kennedy. The new president offered a challenge to Americans as they moved into a new decade following the 50s, which many consider a lethargic time. Carl Sandburg, the eminent author, poet, and historian, who won the Pulitzer Prize for his account of Lincoln's presidency, told friends of his admiration for the Kennedy inaugural address. He said, "It's Lincoln-esque." Kennedy spoke for less than 15 minutes. We can learn from these speakers whose ability to talk effectively was central to their success, as is the case with so many successful people in every profession. Brevity is the first thing we can learn from them. If people like Lincoln and Kennedy are willing to keep it short to maximize their effectiveness as speakers, we should be smart enough to do the same thing.
Part E, Listening for Pleasure. Pop Songs. Baby, One More Time. This is the end of the tape.
Bye.